It is good to have everyone with us today as we are continuing. On April 8th, 2018, we are continuing our study on the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the proclamation. Last week we assembled on what we call the Resurrection Sunday to recognize and affirm and proclaim the historical fact of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and to look forward to our own resurrection. Today we're looking at an aspect of the resurrection of Christ that Paul describes as the hope of the resurrection. So we're going to title it today, The Resurrection Hope. We'll be in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. So what is it? Who possesses it? And why is the resurrection hope life-changing? Why is it vital, and why does it energize you today? Why does the certainty concerning the future of a Christian affect so dramatically the way he lives today? And so we're going to look at that in the Word of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Holy Spirit lead us. Verse 3 says this, Paul speaking, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins on the cross, according to the Scripture, that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day, according to the Scripture." So that's it. That's the gospel. He died for our sins. He was on that cross, and He carried my sins, the sins of all humanity, miraculously and supernaturally. And by His blood I am cleansed. The shed blood of Jesus is what cleanses me. So that's the gospel. And I am justified in my belief of His resurrection. His resurrection proved that God the Father accepted the sacrifice He made unto Him. So I don't get saved by my good works. I'm not a good person. I can't be good enough. There was only one good, and there was only one perfectly good, and that was Jesus Christ. And so I am saved by His good work on the cross. And I am saved when I have a personal relationship with Him, when He enters into my heart. Jesus is not going to say at the judgment seat, and this is Him in Matthew 7, He's not going to say you are a good Baptist. He's not going to say you are a good Catholic. He's not going to say any of that. All He's going to say is, "Enter in, you're one of my sheep. I know you and you know me." Or He's going to say, "Depart from me, I never knew you." We never entered into a personal relationship. And so that's the gospel. And Paul presents that in its simplicity there. And then in verse 11 he says this, Whether it were I or they, the disciples, so we preach and so you believe. Do you believe what? Christ died for our sins. And He rose again. He was buried and He rose again the third day, verse 3 and 4. And then you come down to verse 12 and he says this, "Now if Christ be preached that He rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen." Now, there were false teachers coming into Corinth and they were saying, "This guy Paul, he's crazy. There is no resurrection of the dead." So now you've got this huge argument between Paul, who represents Christianity, who did the foundation of the New Testament church, and these false teachers who say there is no resurrection. And he goes on to say in verse 14, "And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain." Now that word vain in the Greek, the New Testament was written in Greek. The Old Testament was written in Hebrew. Greek is a much more expansive language than the English. That word vain in the Greek means vain, empty, of no worth, and powerless. So if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain and empty. It's of no worth and it's powerless to save you. And that's what he's saying there. If there be no resurrection. Then in verse 17 he says, "And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, and you are still in your sins." If Christ be not raised, there's no power in Jesus' death on the cross and His blood to remove the judgment from your sins. And then he says this in verse 19. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, that's elpizo, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. Others will rise from the dead also, all of us who know Jesus as Lord and Savior. So if he be not risen from the dead, there's no hope. But Christ is risen from the dead, so Paul is saying he is the foundation of all hope. Now, we're going to look at that in a moment, but let's go to Jesus in prayer. Father, as I call on you right now, you know me better than anyone. You know me better than I know myself. And so, Father, every day I try to confess to you out loud in the prayer closet my sins. Tired of some of them, Lord, that I really need to have dealt with in all these years. But your word says if I confess my sins, your blood will cleanse me. And I need your Holy Spirit to change me. Because there is more victory you want me to have in my life instead of certain defeat. So I want to thank you, Jesus, for your cleansing. I pray, Lord, for an anointing of your Spirit and a filling of your Spirit to serve these people today, wash their feet. Father, I pray for humility and meekness. Let me decrease so you increase. And Father, I just pray right now in a special way that your Holy Spirit will be our teacher, that you'll speak to each heart in here. And those listening on the website, you'll just speak to all these hearts because you know the needs. And your Holy Spirit will speak to us, Lord. And Father, minister, let everyone in here know that you love them and that you care about them. Father, we thank you and we praise you. In your glorious name we pray, Holy Spirit, take over. Amen. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 19 says, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, and if he's not risen from the dead, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead. And in verse 22 it says, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all men be made alive. Christ is risen from the dead and we have hope. There lives within us a resurrection hope. And not only a resurrection hope based on his resurrection, but a resurrection hope based on our resurrection. Not only did Jesus rise from the dead, Cleo, if I were to die tonight before the rapture, the scripture says, Paul says, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. My spirit, my emotions, my mind, everything you know about me as Brother Leo will go and be with the Lord. And the Bible says I'll be clothed in the heavenly. Some kind of white heavenly vesture will contain my spirit until the time when the Lord comes back and my body will come out of the grave glorified, unlimited in health and joy and peace and strength to be reunited with my spirit. And so that's going to be my resurrection. Now, if I'm alive at the point of the rapture, the dead in Christ will come out of those graves first, but we who are alive will be supernaturally transported in the air to meet him and will be changed as we make that trip from our feet standing on earth into where the Lord is in the air. And we'll receive our glorified bodies there. But I have a hope in the resurrection of Jesus Christ and also in my own resurrection. But I want to define that word for you, hope. Okay, that word in the Greek is elpizo. E-L-P-I-Z-O. That's what the New Testament's been written in, elpizo. And it means this. An expectation with certainty. So write that down. An expectation with certainty of obtaining a future good. An expectation with certainty of obtaining a future good. So this is different than the English hope. Okay, I'm going to tell you got a ball game this week. You might enter the game and say, you know, I hope I get a couple of hits in this game. But you don't know for certain whether or not you're going to get a couple of hits. You don't know how good the pitcher's going to be. You don't know how well you're going to be swinging the bat. So you don't know with certainty. You know, hopefully as things heat up, Cleo, this week's supposed to be 80. We're hoping to get out in the boat on Priest Lake, and I hope we catch a few fish. But I don't know with certainty. We could go out there and catch 20. We could go out there and not catch a thing. So that's what hope means in the English. But I want to show you what hope means in the Greek here. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Just turn back a few pages. And look at what the scripture says. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14, Paul says this. And God hath both raised up the Lord and will also raise up us by His own power. He raised up Jesus Christ from the dead, and He will also raise us up by His same power. Now, is Paul hoping for that? Certainly he is, but he's hoping with certainty. He knows he's going to be raised up from the dead. He's not saying, you know, maybe God's going to raise us up by His same power. He's saying the same power that raised up Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago is the same power that's going to raise us up in the future. And there is certainty in that. And I want you to understand, if you are agreeing with everything I'm saying today, and I know most of you are, and many of you are that listen on the website, the bottom line is this, don't sell yourself short. This is a supernatural aspect of the Holy Spirit that allows you to say with certainty, just like it allows me to say with certainty, when I die, I'm going to be with Jesus. When I die, I'm going to heaven. When I die, at some point, I'm going to have a glorified body that'll never worry again, never sin again, never have pain again, never have doubt again, never have anything but unlimited joy and goodness. And I know that I know that I know that's the certainty that goes along with El Piso. And that makes me very excited about my future. But I want you to notice what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15. And he uses an antithesis or an antonym of hope here. And in verse 19, he says, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable if He did not rise from the dead. Now, I want to show you in the Bible who does not have this hope. And they are miserable, and you can tell it by the way they live. So turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. And look at what the scripture says in verse 12. And in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12, it says this, that at the time you were without Christ. Now, Paul, I want you to understand, is a Jewish guy. And he is writing to Gentile believers in the book of Ephesus. And we have studied this for 20 years. You and I have been together since I was at Jedburgh. I was at Jedburgh in 1984. I was at Green River in January 95. So a lot of you have been under my teaching for 20-something years. And we have discovered that it's very important you understand who is being written to in a book. Paul not writing to Jews here that have been converted to Christianity. He's writing to Gentiles who are pagans. They don't know anything but pagan worship. They don't know anything but drunken lasciviousness in the name of worship when they would worship Diana and all these pagan goddesses. So in verse 12 he says that at the time you Gentiles were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, the Jews who knew the true living God of the old covenant, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope in the world and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. And you're saying, Brother Leo, people that don't have Jesus Christ, that don't have the Lord in their hearts, they don't have hope. No, they don't have the hope that I'm describing, no doubt about it. These are the kind of people that live everything for the horizontal. They mind earthly things. And I'm going to show you that in a moment. That they have a total different perspective on life. You know, there was a bumper sticker out many, many years ago that said, in life, he who finishes with the most toys wins. In life, he who finishes with the most toys wins. And that's the mentality of these folks, because if Christ is not risen from the dead, and if you don't believe in the resurrection of the dead, and you're not born again, guess what? This is all there is. This is all there is. And notice what Paul said. Well, I'll tell you what he said because I took you away from it. In 1 Corinthians 15, he said, if Christ be not risen from the dead, everybody that dies is just perished, and their body's going to lay in the ground, and there is no future. And so when people believe that, it causes them to live a totally different way than you live. Patty and I were driving in this morning, and we were talking about some of the evil that we have faced here recently. And I told Patty, I said, you know, I just don't think I can comprehend being evil to folks and hurting innocent folks and all those kind of things and different things. And the bottom line was this. You know, I told her, I said, everything I do, I realize I'm going to have to give an account to God. I'm going to have to face God one day, even as a Christian. You know, not concerning my salvation, but concerning the kind of life I lived after my salvation. Paul said, Leo, when you got saved, the foundation was Jesus Christ, and you either built upon that foundation wood, hay, or stubble, or you built gold, silver, and precious stones. The gold, silver, and precious stones will stand the fire of the judgment, not salvation judgment, but the judgment of God as to the works I did after I was saved, not works to get saved, because no works can save you. You're saved by God's grace. But the bottom line is, I know I'm going to give an account to God. And so it changes the way you live. My future, the knowledge and certainty I have about my future as a Christian, affects your present. And the resurrection hope is a huge part of that. So I want you to understand something before we go forward. We are defining, when we define El Piso, we are defining a supernatural, spiritual expectancy and certainty that lives in the present. It deals with the future, but it lives in the present. And it energizes you. And it propels you forward as you go through life. So go with me to 1 Peter chapter 1 and let me show you how the resurrection hope affects you in the present. And there are tons of these scriptures, but I'm probably just going to use one of them today, I think. In 1 Peter chapter 1, we're going to read about the future, and then we're going to read about the present. And in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, the scripture says this, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again," hath born us again. All right? I want you to grab that phrase, and that's not this message. Jesus Christ has born us again. The Holy Spirit has born us again. I didn't born myself again. All right? It wasn't by my power I got saved. It was by the power of Jesus Christ. I received what He did for me. He hath begotten us again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So a byproduct of my salvation is the resurrection hope. The hope concerning my future. And look at what he says. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fades not away, reserved in heaven for you. Eternally reserved. So I know this is part of my future. And somebody will say, how in the world can you know that? I don't see how you can know that. Well, when folks tell you that, they're not at the place that I'm describing here. Either they're not saved, or they're saved and indwelt by the Spirit, but they've just not grown in the Word. And that may not be their fault. They may have been under dead teaching for a lot of years. But the bottom line is, when you're saved and you grow in the Word, the Holy Spirit is manifesting the truth of God into certainties in your personal life. I was having dinner with a couple several years ago, and many folks in Wayne County would know this couple, and they're of another religion. And the wife said to me, as we were finishing dinner, she said, "Brother Leo, I hope you're right." And I was talking about a lot of spiritual things. And she said, "I really hope you're right." And I'll never forget that. It was like a knife went through my... I said, here's a person who goes to church every Sunday and they're hoping I'm right. They ought to be agreeing with me and knowing I'm right. Knowing I'm right. These folks aren't even sure they're going to enter heaven. They're not even sure they're going to enter heaven. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I mess up all the time. I can mess up big time tomorrow. But I know I've been born again by the power of Jesus, and I know I'm indwelt by the Spirit, and I know there's an inheritance reserved for me in heaven. I am going to heaven. Amen. Now, I may go without any rewards, and I may go messed up, but I'm there by the blood of Christ. And that's my certainty. Now, notice what he says. You are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. The power of God keeps me through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. So I just read to you three verses concerning the future of a Christian. And then he goes about how it should affect us in the present. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now... Would you say now with me? Now, what is now? Now's the present. Though now you're going to go through trials. Now you're going to go through tribulations. Now you're going to go through suffering if need be. You're going to be in heaviness, but the trial of your faith is going to strengthen you so that you can endure. So what's he saying? He's saying that when we face storms, and when we face trials, and when we face hard times, the hope that a Christian has for the future should energize us with strength and with an undercurrent of joy, where we endure the trial and we see the good that God's trying to bring out of it. We see the hope that God's trying to bring out of it. And we can even see in the trial, hey, God needs to use me to minister to other people. And that's the power of the resurrection. The hope that affects us in the present when we're talking about the future. Go with me to Romans chapter 5. And you know, as I was meditating on this week, I think this hope a lot of times is almost subconscious. It's like a stream that's running through us. And as we're going through the battles and as we're going through different things in life, this future hope and certainty that we have, it energizes us, and we don't even realize it energizes us. I mean, we don't have to keep telling ourselves, well, this is not all there is. You know, I'm going to make it through this. I mean, we are alive and we know this is not all there is. And we know that God's going to strengthen us to strive and continue and to endure and get through things. Look at what he says in Romans chapter 5, verse 1. He says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace. We've been united with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. That's that word again, that certainty, the glory of God, the hope I have that I am saved and I have an eternal life by grace in Jesus Christ. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation works endurance, and endurance works experience, and experience results in hope. Now, I want to give you, in the Greek, that word experience actually means this. It's a much more expressive word. It's when you experience someone and they prove themselves to you. Like you experience a relationship with somebody and they prove themselves to you. They may prove themselves that they're a very good and trustworthy person. Or they may prove themselves that they're a liar. Or they may prove themselves that they love you. Well, what this means is the more you experience Christ, the more He proves Himself to us. Amen. That He's faithful, that He's trustworthy. And as you endure, and as you experience Christ, and He proves Himself more and more how faithful He is to you in your present day life, it fills you with hope as you deal with whatever you got to deal with in the future. And that's part of your resurrection hope. I'm going to tell you something. I've been through several trials in my life. I've been through several seasons of hard times in my life. And guess what? Jesus got me through all of them. And He got you through all of them. So as I'm going through one now, or if I go through one in the future, my hope is based on what He's already done. What I have learned by experience with Christ Jesus. And so that's why only the child of God can have hope. I want to tell you something. I'd be scared to death right now if I had to face tomorrow depending only on myself. How many people do you know live that life? Many people. I'm not about many religious people who go to church every Sunday. Their religion can't save them. Their good works can't save them. Many folks that never go to church, never open a door, never even think about God. They're in the same boat with those other people. You've got, let me tell you something. You've got to have God in you. Go to Colossians chapter 1. This hope is within us. And it's a spiritual, supernatural gift from God. It's a byproduct. It's an energy that is derived from the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Colossians chapter 1, verse 27 says this. Colossians chapter 1, verse 27 says this. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. Here Paul goes again. He's talking about he was the apostle to the Gentiles. He ministered to the Gentiles. It was a different ministry than Peter had to the Jews. And he says this. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. What is it? Christ in you, the hope of future glory. It's the hope of glory now, and it's the hope of glory in the future, but it's Christ in me, and He gives me this hope, this certainty. And you say, Brother Leo, can you explain it to me with more depth? Go to 1 Peter again, but go to chapter 3. And let me give you this Elpizo in a scripture again. First Peter chapter 3, verse 15 says this. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be always ready to give an answer to every man that asks you the reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Now, number one, this resurrection hope should be part of our witness. Number two, for it to be part of our witness, people need to see it in our lives. People need to see it in our lives. So you say, Brother Leo, what is the reason for the hope that is within you? Well, that's Elpizo. There is a certainty in my life and in my mindset, and that's Elpizo. Elpizo is an energy that propels you forward. Elpizo is a mindset that gives you a perspective on things. So, what is the reason for the hope that is within me? Well, it is based on the Word of God and His truth, and it's also based on my experiences with God personally, and every child of God can say that. So what is the reason for the Elpizo or the hope that is in you? Well, I'm hopeful because I know God will never allow more to come on me than He's not already strengthened me to bear. I know that anything that does come on me, it is passed through the providential hands of God first, because He can stop it at any moment, just like we learned in Job. I have learned, and I am certain, that God is faithful. He will never fail me. He will never forsake me. All of these things, the riches and glory in Christ Jesus, I am certain, will always provide my needs. So there is a hope and a certainty in me based on the truth of the Word of God and my experiences with Jesus. And that's why Paul says without blinking an eye, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, one day He's going to raise my body from the dead. And it's through the preaching and teaching of the Word, hopefully you get reinforced in these things. And you leave here and you say, I'm certain of that too. You know, or I was certain of it when I got here, and I'm even more certain of it now. Because the Word of God, you know, the Lord said, I don't want you wondering about salvation. These things have I written that you will know you've been saved. 1 John 5:13. So He wants us to have certainty about our future and certainty about our present. Let me go to one more with you. Go to Philippians chapter 3. And in Philippians chapter 3, and I wrote down two verses. And I wrote down verse 20 and 21. And I wrote above them in my notes, stated with absolute certainty. Paul is stating this with absolute certainty. And look at what he says. For our citizenship is in heaven. All right, what he's saying there is, I am going to heaven. My eternal life is going to be in heaven. I've got a new heaven and a new earth coming, and that's where I'm going to live. From whence also we look for with expectancy the return of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know exactly when Philippians was written, but you know, let's say roughly, Christ ascended to heaven 30 years ago when Paul wrote this in Philippians. He's expecting Him to come back. Just like He went up, the angel said, why are you staring into heaven? He's coming back. And they took Him at their word. So with absolute certainty, He knows the Lord's coming back. Verse 21, and He's going to change my vile body that it might be fashioned like unto His glorious physical body that He had when He came out of the grave, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself. So with absolute certainty, Paul is saying, I'm going to have a physical body glorified just like Jesus did. And remember when Jesus appeared to the disciples and they said, oh my goodness, I think we see a spirit. I think we see a spirit. He goes, I'm not a spirit. Look at my hands. He said, look at my side and look at the wounds that I have. And he said, what are you guys eating? And he sat down and he ate fish with them. You know, he's physical. And then they're out fishing on another day before he ascended. And he said, cast the net on the other side. But they didn't recognize it was him. And when they got there, what had he done? He had taken coals and he had cooked some fish. Then they sat down again and they ate fish. You say, what's that telling you, Brother Leo? There's this huge seafood buffet in heaven. That's what it's telling me. After the Lord rose from the dead, Mona, all He ate was seafood. So that's all I'm going to eat. You say, well, Brother Leo, I don't like seafood. Well, I doubt your salvation. Brother Leo's teasing if you're listening somewhere and you can't see his facial expression. Physically, He rose from the dead. There's going to be 12 manner of fruit on the tree of life in the New Jerusalem. And we're going to eat of that fruit, of that tree regularly. And so Paul is saying with certainty, and look at what he says there about this body. According to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. We look forward to this glorious, all-victorious body and existence that is going to have no limit to the goodness that we're going to experience with this body. And that gives us hope. You better believe if you're on a deathbed and you're suffering, how wonderful to know it's just a few more moments. It's just a few more hours. It's just a few more days. I'm going to have a body better than anything I could imagine at my greatest physical moment on the face of the earth. I'm going to have that body soon. I'm going to have that body soon. And it gives us this glorious hope that no matter how bad it gets in this life, no matter what we have to go through in this life, I am not miserable because this is not all there is. And you know how I know it? Because Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And He said He would. And He did. And you know what else He said? And you too will rise from the dead. So we possess the resurrection hope that gives us an inner strength and energy. It propels us forward as we go through life. Because let me tell you something, we're headed somewhere. We're going somewhere. I'm going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes. I'm going to ask Judy to play softly for a few moments. And as she is playing softly today, I want you to meditate and let the Holy Spirit be your teacher, because I'm a man. I mess up all kind of stuff. But let the Holy Spirit speak to your heart about the power of the resurrection that lives in you. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, Romans 8, dwells in you. And as you pray for a few moments, would you thank God? Would you thank the Lord? Say, Lord Jesus, thank You so much for the power of Your resurrection, and thank You that it lives in me, and thank You that I too have a glorious future, Lord, and You got a beautiful plan for me today and forever. And let's share a prayer with the Lord of thanksgiving for the resurrection hope that lives within us for a few moments. If you need to pray with me, you come and I'll pray with you.